bow in prayer. Father, we thank you that you are our King. We thank you, Father, that we've been brought into the family, brought into the kingdom. We are citizens there. We are so grateful for that today, Father. We know the cost. What our Lord Jesus Christ suffered, what he went through for us, we might be forgiven. We were enemies. Thank you, Father, we were reconciled. Oh, Father, may we honor you by listening to what you have to say today, realizing our place. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's turn our Bibles this morning to 2 Samuel chapter 23. 2 Samuel 23, we might get there after a while, we might not get there at all, but anyway, you'll have it open in case we do. It's a record of the veterans that served under David and helped to make him the kind of king that he became. It's because of their bravery and their sacrifice, and they're acknowledged, many of them. Some did tremendous things. One guy crawled down in a pit, take on a lion. One guy went up against an Egyptian with a spear, took it away from him, killed him with his own spear. Some did some very heroic things. And then there's just a bunch of names. And we don't know what they did, but their names are there. They're mentioned in that chapter, on that wall, in that book. And God had a purpose for that, because they all served David during his time of rejection. And they were heroes. It was the 11th month. It was the 11th hour on the 11th day, 1918. The armistice ended World War I. And you know those people fought right up until the armistice was signed. Many were killed just days before, knowing that this was going to happen. It's crazy what people do to each other. It's an amazing thing. Ministry in the nursing home in Fort Kent, I have a veteran that I go see just about every Thursday. So anyway, I knew that the senator was going to be there to hand out flags, and this had already gone by, and I sat there with him, and I said, so the senator came to pass out flags. And he goes, yeah. I thought, oh. He said, paper flag. I said, paper flag? He said, one of the representatives of the senator passed out paper flags. How long did it take? It's about 10 minutes. His disappointment was palpable. Listen, patronize veterans? I don't care what party you're with. You're not there for the veterans. You're there for the publicity a newspaper article would provide. You want to be there for a veteran? Sit down with him? Ask him his time of service, where he served, when he got out, whom did he marry, how many kids he had, what he did for work? That's much more than a paper flag. How often does that happen? How often are veterans visited by groups and things just to make them look good? The ones that really appreciate veterans are the ones that spend their time there with them. Go out of their way for them. Build meaningful relationships with those people. Not that these people gave too much to be used like that. Veterans. You take a fellow like Rod back there, coming to the last year of his life probably, ready for the nursing home himself. Most of you just come here and go, and you know very little about him, but Rod served in a place in Vietnam called Khe Sanh. That was quite a place. Now listen, if you ever have the chance to take him out to lunch, and he's in the right mood, he might share some of those things about a battle that was fought many years ago that he was a part of, in a place where over 1,000 Americans laid down their lives. Could have been 3,500, but you know how the military cooks the books sometimes. You never know. Did that. Came home, went to work, raised a family. Westmoreland, during that siege, thought seriously about using the nuclear option because it looked like Khe Sanh was going to be overrun. That's how close they came. Forgotten. It's just a place. Nobody even lives there. There was a video in which a fellow came into a cafe and went to the counter and ordered a coffee. He was in his late 60s, early 70s. In the video, he's just sitting there looking in his coffee with his mind somewhere else, long ways away. So the door opens in the cafe and a soldier walks in, young fellow, in uniform. And he comes up to the counter next to this fellow and he orders a coffee. While the coffee is coming, he looks down at this fellow and his arm, there's a tattoo. And the tattoo is of Airborne Vietnam. He didn't say anything, so he goes over and he sits down. Door opens again. Lady comes in with her boy, 6-7 years old. And the boy said to his mother, "Mom, there's a soldier there. They're heroes. Could I have my picture taken with him?" The guy at the bar just kind of makes a face. So the young soldier gets with the boy and has his picture taken. You can see the expression on the older soldier's face of, "We never got that." The video's playing on and the old soldier is there and he feels something tugging at his shirt and he looks down. It's the kid. And the kid says, "Mister, that man over there said you were a hero. Could I have my picture taken with you?" So the old guy turns around, puts his arm around the kid. Mother takes a picture. So the old guy turns around, he goes back to his coffee, gets another tug on his shirt. It's the young soldier. He said, "I want to thank you for your service." They shook hands. Young soldier leaves. He turns back to his coffee with a smile on his face. It just kind of brought out in facial expressions and that kind of thing how suppressed decade after decade after decade those men were because of what they did and where they came from. Tomorrow is Veterans Day. Veterans Day. Anonymous poet put it like this: "It is the veteran, not the preacher, who has given us freedom of religion. It is the veteran, not the reporter, who has given us freedom of the press. It is the veteran, not the poet, who has given us freedom of speech. It is the veteran, not the campus organizer, who has given us freedom of assembly. It is the veteran, not the lawyer, who has given us the right to a fair trial. It is the veteran, not the politician, who has given us the right to vote. It is the veteran who salutes the flag. It is the veteran who serves under the flag, to be buried by the flag, so the protester can burn the flag." Quite a thing, isn't it? Strange group of people, veterans. They come in so many sizes and shapes and served in so many different places in this world. Back in 09, 10 years ago, an American warship entered Da Nang Harbor. That was quite a thing. But that's not the end of the story. The commander of that battleship was a Vietnamese American who had been taken by his father, the commander himself, in the South Vietnamese Navy. When the end was in sight, when the North Vietnamese finally conquered South Vietnam, took that 5-year-old boy and escaped in an old, rusty ship. They ran out of fuel, and the ship was sinking when an American cruiser came along and took that family aboard. In 09, that 5-year-old was now a grown man in command of an American battleship pulling into Da Nang Harbor. He comes off the ship. Two Vietnamese officers come up to him and salute him. Now, they're about his age, but he's an American. Isn't that quite a story? That's a true story. People who have served the United States. You know what his father said? That when he got to the United States, he did not want to be a burden to the United States. He went to work in the supermarket as a bag boy. Couldn't even speak English. But he went to work in the supermarket as a bag boy, learned how to speak English, and before it was over, he was the manager of the supermarket. And his boy went off to college and became a commander in the United States Navy. Those are stories that need to be told. So anyway, this blowhard Air Force major was promoted to colonel. And he got a brand new office. Maybe Dale ran into him, I don't know. The first morning, he's in his new office, and an airman comes and knocks at the door. The colonel, feeling the urge to impress the young airman, picked up his phone and began talking. "Yes, General. Thank you, General. Yes, I'll pass the information along to the president this afternoon." "Yes, goodbye, sir." Then turning to the airman, he barked, "What do you want?" The airman said, "Nothing important, sir. I just came to hook up the phone." I know a colonel, but he's not like that colonel. The colonel I know, he's retired now, but his name is Tim Gale. And back in 1973, Tim wanted to join the military and go to Vietnam. Well, he's a little young for that. You know, he got over in 74. So Tim joined the military because he wanted to serve in Vietnam, but he never got to Vietnam. But he got through the 3 years of service in the military. He was in the reserves after he got out, went to college, got a commission. Then he joined the National Guard. Before it was over, he was a colonel. Now, he started out as a private, and he ended his career after 32 years as a colonel. And I'd run into people, I'd ask, you in the Guards, you know Tim Gale? I met that officer. We had this guy that was an officer, and he was, I can't remember what his rank was then, but it was like a captain or a major. We'd spend our 2 weeks on maneuvers, and we'd be digging a hole. And this officer would come, get a spade, and help us dig the hole. Sleep out in the field with us, either in a tent or in the ambulance. Looked after the men, did whatever he could for the men. That Tim Gale is quite a man. Every once in a while, Tim shows up here. And you would never know that Tim would be a colonel in the Army. There's no air of that about him whatsoever. With him, it was simply this. He had the ability. He had the intelligence. He had the opportunities. He took advantage of that, and he served his country. That's quite a thing. My sister did that back in the 60s. Mentioned that this morning. I said, Dee Dee, what was your rank? She said, I was a sergeant. She said, it wasn't hard to get to be sergeant. She said, I was teaching the men going to Vietnam how to use the computers that we had and how to send messages that were encrypted and all that kind of stuff. And she said, so I made rank. I was a sergeant. Well, I said, Dee Dee, I want to thank you for that. I said, that's quite a thing. I don't think she ever got the recognition she should have because she was a woman. But she served. She put in her time. It's quite a thing. So many are doing that. Max is out there somewhere, isn't he? Who knows where? He's a ranger. Ranger is to the Army what the Navy SEAL is to the Navy. Worry about that a little bit, Harry. Got to pray for these people. These people who have served their country and who are serving their country. I remember a friend of mine, he was in college and dropped out for some reason or other. I don't know why he did that, but had a college deferment. Well, of course, when he dropped out, that was the end of the college deferment. So he was drafted. And they made him an MP, served his country, came back home, just a kid. And back in that day, what the young fellows did is they saved up their shekels while they were in the military because they could buy beer for like 25 cents a can, so they had extra money. He came back home and he bought a Mustang, muscle car. And here he is, out of the service. He's got his Mustang, came off the St. John Bridge, one-way bridge. State trooper stopped him and gave him a ticket for being on the wrong side of the road. How can you be on the wrong side of the road on a one-lane bridge? It just bothered me because to the trooper, it was just a young guy. He's got a fancy car. That's all he had. He probably didn't have enough gas for the weekend. Why would you do that to somebody who served his country? Why would you do that? I don't know why people do that. The other day, I had the privilege to sit down with a fellow that I lost contact with for 50 years. We were just talking. He started talking about back in that day, late 60s. I didn't even know this because we lost touch. He had been drafted and he was married. He got orders to go to Vietnam. And he said, you know, Gary, he said, I thought about going to Canada. He said, I'll tell you, I thought seriously about going to Canada. But he said, I didn't. He said, I went to Vietnam. He said, when I got back from Vietnam, I had about 3 months left service. He said, they stationed me in New York. I think it was upstate New York. He continued, my job was to go around to all military funerals and give the flag. He said, that was a horrible job. Can you imagine how many mothers and fathers and brothers and sisters and wives that he had to pass that flag to and thank them for their son's service, for their daughter's service? Can you imagine? That's what he went through. That was way back there. People should know that. They really should, and they shouldn't forget that, what took place. My son served 10 years in the Navy. So I sent him a little text thanking him for his service because he served for 10 years. Soldiers just went and did what they had to do and came home and went on with life. Luke chapter 3, verse 14 says, Then some soldiers asked him, that's John the Baptist, what shall we do? He replied, don't extort money, don't accuse people falsely, and be content with your pay. People in that position under certain circumstances can really use their authority to hurt people. So don't do that. That was a simple thing. But I was thinking, how many veterans, even here today, would have fallen into that category? Don't extort money. Don't accuse people falsely. And be content with your wages. I think probably to be content with the wages would maybe be the most difficult thing, because you don't make a lot of money in the military. How many times in the Bible that soldier was taken, as the Roman soldier was taken, and used as an illustration of what we should be as Christians and how we should operate as Christians? 1 Corinthians 9:7 says, who serves as a soldier at his own expense? Who plants a vineyard and does not eat its grapes? Who tends a flock and does not drink the milk? In other words, somebody's behind them. He has a right to be able to survive in that particular position. There's a lot today about medical things and that kind of stuff for soldiers that wasn't available in years past. As a matter of fact, at the end of the First World War, there was a demonstration in Washington whereby a number of soldiers were killed because they were promised a bonus for serving in the First World War, and they never got their bonus. That was a stinker. But in any case, what it's saying, what Paul said to the Corinthians was, if you're going to go there and serve, you should be taken care of. And the tragedy of forgetting these people and forgetting what they've done is on the shoulders of all Americans, because we've pretty much forgotten that. To the extent where the American soldier, like the American policeman, is looked down on. Philippians chapter 2, verse 25. Paul says, but I think it necessary to send back to you Epaphroditus, my brother, co-worker, and fellow soldier. That's how he described Epaphroditus, as a fellow soldier. What came out of that description? This is what comes out of that description. A combat soldier expressed it best when he said this. He said, when you're there, you're not fighting communism, and you're not fighting for mom and apple pie. You're not fighting for any of that. He said, you're fighting for each other. You're trying to keep each other alive. So when Paul took that term, soldier, that's what he was talking about. It's about each other. This Christian warfare we're in, where people are getting hurt left and right, we need to look out for each other. We need to be there for each other. 2 Timothy 2:3, Paul asks Timothy this question. He says, join with me in suffering like a good soldier of Jesus Christ. Good soldier suffers. Say, you become a Christian, so you make a lot of money, you're never sick, everything falls into place. Nope. You'll suffer for being a Christian. The world's not accepting of Christians. Maybe a generic kind of Christianity that doesn't rock the boat, maybe. But a Christian who's taking a stand for Christ, who's sharing the gospel, who supports the work, you're going to have some problems. You won't get away from it. So he said, Timothy, join me in suffering as a good soldier. What does a good soldier do? Good soldier suffers. Those guys like Max that train like that, constantly training, 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 hour after hour, day after day, month after month, for just an hour sometimes of serious horror. But without all that training, they couldn't suffer the way they suffer when they're in those moments of horror, combat for others. Timothy, 2 Timothy 2:4, no one serving as a soldier gets entangled in civilian affairs, but rather tries to please his commanding officer. That's a soldier. Sometimes with all this craziness going on all around us, these talk show anchors bring in an officer, and they'll interview that person to get his perspective on all the foolishness in our world. And the ones who really know who they are, they'll make this statement. My job description does not allow for me to judge. My job description calls for me to obey my commanding officer. Whether I agree or whether I disagree, that's irrelevant. I'm to obey. So when he took that and he used it like this, no one serving as a soldier gets entangled in civilian affairs, but rather tries to please his commanding officer. Entangled in life and entangled in religion and entangled in politics and entangled in pleasure and all kinds of things that get you so tangled up, you're of no value to the kingdom of God. And it's about the kingdom of God. So 2 Samuel 23 contains quite a list of people who did tremendous things. Verse 10, and Eleazar stood his ground. Stood his ground. There are people who made professions of faith in Christ, and they did a few little things, and you almost thought they were Christian. I don't know, maybe they are. I'm not certain, but I'll tell you what. The ground they once claimed, they surrendered, seemingly without much of a battle. Gave up their ground. Turned it over to the enemy. I mentioned that battle, the one that Rod was in, Kaesong. The NVA just kind of walked away from it. 100,000 of them, by the way. They were surrounded by 100,000. Oh, man, it's hard to imagine. So the order came down from the Marine Corps, well, above the Marine Corps from Westmoreland, to abandon that base. The Seabees came in and destroyed everything on the base, destroyed the airfield, destroyed everything, so that nobody would even know that ever happened. In other words, they gave up the ground that 1,000 Americans or more died for. You say, that's crazy. That's just absolutely crazy. Why would you give up ground that people shed their blood for? Well, when you bring it into the Christian economy, why would you give up ground you fought for? Why would you give up ground that has been a cost not just to yourself but to others and turn it back over to the enemy? Why would you do that? That's crazy. The ground you conquered, you keep and you defend. And we have too many Christians that are turning it back over. For what? Three guys in that chapter. They just overhear David saying he's thirsty. And there's a well there, Bethlehem. And these three guys, they break through the enemy line. They get some water out of the well. They break back through the enemy line. And they bring the water to David. Because all he said was he was thirsty. But they knew that David was going to be the king. And they were going to serve the king. And David took that water and he poured it out as an offering to God. Was he thirsty? He was thirsty. But to him, that water was sacred. That was a sacred thing. That was done by three men that went above and beyond the call of duty. Simply because they loved their king. Their commander. Who was going to be king someday. So what do you do? Does the Lord ever remind you that he saved you and he has given you life and breath ever since? Does he ask you what you've done for him in that time frame? What'd you do with those years? The Lord might remind you, you know what I went through for you? Hey, what'd you go through for me? David's men knew the condition he was in. He called himself a dog, a flea, whom Saul, driven by jealousy, wanted to kill. They overheard David speak of a deep desire for cool, refreshing water. And they wanted to provide that for him. And then they just went and did it. How do we respond to the picture the Holy Spirit paints for us of our loving Savior? What is required of us may be different from what is required of someone else, somebody else. We may need to go somewhere, do something others are not called upon to go to or do because we are Christians and Christ is our example. We need to go some places that others don't want to go. We need to do some things that others don't want to do because we're Christians and Christ is our example. He didn't come here for the fun of it. He didn't come here to be somebody. He came here because we were lost. For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which is lost. That's why he came. Veterans Day. His name was Colonel Chester Pulley. Most decorated Marine. Chester Pulley was in charge of the Marines when they were at the Chosin Reservoir. And Chester Pulley made this statement. There are two different statements, and some say it's this statement and some say it's that statement. I believe it could be both, said at different times by Chester Pulley. One statement he made about being surrounded by the Chinese at the Chosin Reservoir was this. He called the officers together and he said, "Men, we finally found them. We're surrounded." That simplifies things. That's one of the statements they attribute to him. The other one was, he said, men, we've got Chinese in front of us. We've got Chinese behind us. We've got Chinese to the left of us. And we've got Chinese to the right of us. They can't get away from us now. We don't know which one it was, Chester Pulley. So he served his country and he came home. His son grew up, became a Marine, went to Vietnam, lost both his legs, part of his hands. Came back home, wrote a book called Fortunate Son, The Healing of a Vietnam Vet. And then in 1994, he took his life. You think of all the crazy that's going on in our country? All the foolishness, all the stuff that's being said. And the reason why we have what we have here, and we have so much, is because of men like this. Unbelievable. It's just absolutely unbelievable. 2 Timothy 2:4, no one serving as a soldier gets entangled in civilian affairs, but rather tries to please his commanding officer. That's a true soldier of Jesus Christ. Tomorrow's Veterans Day. Forest Hill has veterans. You walk in the door, there's a wall, pictures of these guys on the wall. They're young then, but, you know, down the hall, they're crippled up and old and decrepit. There's one old guy there. He used to be on the board of the ambulance service. He's a sharp guy. And he was a combat veteran in the Second World War. You'd never know that. Started a business, was successful. After he came out of that, he's in there. Number of them in there. Some have head strokes. They can't talk. They want to talk. It's in there, but they can't talk. But they're veterans. You have time to visit a veteran. Eagle Lake Nursing Home, they have pictures of veterans on the wall. You go in there and look. Veterans. I don't know what other nursing homes have, but I'm sure they probably have similar things. Abigail was sharing what the school in Ashland did for veterans and Veterans Day. Tremendous. Really meaningful. What an educational opportunity was given to those kids because the teachers took that seriously. In that system, what you can do for veterans. Well, here's what we're going to do. We've never done this before, and I might get in a lot of trouble for this. This service is over, and I'm going to ask the veterans to go in the back, each side the door, and as we're leaving, we'll thank these veterans for their service. Now, veterans, you know who you are. Don't anybody pull something here. Let's bow in prayer. Father, we do thank you for our time together, and we thank you for the way you put things together for us. Father, may we honor these who have gone above and beyond today, and may we honor you when you desire of us as Christians to go above and beyond. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.